Following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We're glad you can join us once again. And today is Sunday, so it is our cyber version. And as you know, on our cyber version, I always have our esteemed associate, Mr. A.I. Wynn. And he's here again today. Wynn, are you doing okay this morning?
Doing great. How are you, Nathan? How's it going?
I'm doing fine, just struggling with technology, that's all, as you know.
On we are.
Got a new headset on its way, though. Hopefully Amazon gets it over here. And I don't know that's the problem, but we're having problems getting audio from Houston to Bangkok, as
well,
the case
typical.
May be.
Yeah.
Yeah. In any event, just real quick, before we start the show, let me just remind people that regardless of the topics we opine on, whether it's real estate taxation, retirement plan taxation, zero tax math, private real estate partnership syndications, or IT, these are typically not DIY projects. We strongly suggest you consult with your existing professional advisors to make sure you not only heard what you heard, or at least thought you did, but that the strategies, the issues, et cetera, apply to your unique facts and circumstances before you do something that could cause harm. In any event, if you don't have professional advisors in the assorted areas I just enumerated, feel free to go to the BAPlanner.com website. Again, that's BAPlanner.com. And complete one of our client profile. Well, when you go to the website, I'm sorry, I left off a step. Top right, second from the right, you'll see a forms link. And if you will click that, take you to a page where step one, form one, is the minimum that I need you to fill out. And if you'll do that, and then right next to that forms link at the top, you'll see a call button, and you can schedule a call at your most convenient time. So, in any event, with all that said, Wynn, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, we're going to talk about several topics today. You know, we love complex topics, and today is no exceptions. And the several topics we're talking about today are going to be, first, one of them is AI-powered email security, okay? And the other one is going to be new but old malware, ransomware, just came out.
Okay.
Well, they're not came out, but it does a lot of massive damage. And also, too, if we have some time left, we talk about continuing the last time, cloud security. So all of this topic is what affecting us today. That's one I'm going to talk about. Okay.
Sounds great. I'm going to let you take it away.
Cool.
And, let's see, when we'll probably, we may take a break. We'll take two breaks today, so you can gather your thoughts midway.
Sure. Right.
Okay, well, let's proceed.
Sure. Okay, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the show today. And I'm tackling a topic that everyone's mind, okay, email security. It feels like every day there's a new headline about major breach or sophisticated attack. With nearly 350 billion emails flying around the global daily, and many contain sensitive or confidential data. And it's no surprise that email has become a prime target for cyber criminals. And a lot of people asking, why should business care about email security right now? Well, you know what? Because email is one of the most common way attacker gain initial foothold. If they can trick just one employee into clicking or sharing sensitive information, it can open the door to the whole range of damaging cyber activity. So today we're going to deep dive. We'll cover the biggest email threats like phishing, business email, compromise. By the way, that's what it stands for, BEC. You probably hear that term, BEC, stands for business email compromise. And how generative AI is changing the game. Plus strategies to protect both, your organization.
Both for and against, take it, right?
Oh, yeah. So this is the new landscape, okay? So first, I want the listener to understand the modern threat landscape, okay? So let's set the stage by phishing has been around forever and is still incredibly effective, okay? Phishing campaigns rely on human error. People who might accidentally hand over passwords.
Hey, when you could have stopped it, humans. It relies on humans.
Okay. Well, human is the number one. I'm telling you, when it comes to cybersecurity, complexity is number one and human is second. But nowadays, it doesn't matter now. It's both. But phishing been around for a while and still to main. Major issue today. So phishing campaign rely on human error, though. See, they work with each other. So people who might accidentally hand over password or financial detail to attacker posing as a trust entity. And
hey, speaking of that, and I wonder if you've got an easy tag, right? Or whatever we call it.
Uh-huh.
What do we call it in Houston? I've forgotten.
Well, easy tag.
Is it easy tag? Okay, well, over here we've got Easy Pass. I get them confused. But anyway, I got an email yesterday, and I almost had to chuckle thinking, man, this is good. Whoever thought this one up? And basically it was some easy-something name they were using, and it said that my account needed to be restocked.
Oh, you know, man, how you please pay don't tell me you click on it. Don't
is
tell
that
me.
Not slick? Oh, no. I didn't open it at all. I couldn't help but laugh, thinking, gosh, that's unbelievable. Every so often I see a new angle where somebody's clearly not in a bunker somewhere in Azerbaijan or whatever former Russian republic you want to talk about.
Now, remember, they don't need everybody like you to be aware of. It just needs few people to click on it.
That's all they need.
That's it.
Hey, it's like Mark Cuban. I heard him interviewed recently. And speaking of fishing, right?
700,000.
Anyway, he said, you know, I've tried a lot of things, a lot of businesses, and he's had some success. Although I typically put him in the category of it's better to be lucky than good. I am jealous, I guess, in that regard. But I also would note that it's like he said, all I got to do is win one time.
That's it.
I can fail
that's it.
Every time. But let's just say he's won three or four times. And pretty amazing dollars that he's
The other day that I think one of the Shark Tank guy, I forgot, he's a cybersecurity guy. And I love listening to him. He's one of the guys on Shark Tank that I really like. And he said, This is revenue to sell. They said the difference between an amateur, a pro, and the expert when it comes to sell. So the amateur, they sell you features, right? And experienced salesperson sell you tools. But an expert salesperson sell you feelings. So think about it. The same thing with hackers. They rely on feelings, okay? Remember, people will forget what you say to them, but they will remember how you make them feel.
Never forget how they made you feel.
They make you feel. That is so real. And
all you husbands out there need to remember that. Right.
You know, and that's what
husbands,
they use.
Boyfriends.
Yeah. that's what a hacker use, the technology in human. You know, I'm glad that you mentioned the technology in human. You see that? Human psychology.
Yeah, sure.
Human psychology.
Sure.
And that this thing, this phishing test is getting sophisticated. And you know what the real danger is? A single phishing success can grant attackers access to the entire company system. Let them move laterally, exfiltrate the data, or initiate fraudulent wire transfer. It consistently ranks as one of the top three way attacker gain initial access. So that's the first.
Is that
thing.
Right? Yeah. Fraudulent wire transfer.
Oh, and you know,
and step me through that. How is that?
I'll give
working?
You.
In other words,
I'll give you a real world example. Okay, real world example. Usually. Majority of them that I experience from attorney, the lawyers that I know, okay? And, you know, after the case, so they settle the case, right? And then they give the client back, the wire, the bank, or their partners, the wire transfer, the fee, right?
Mm-hmm.
So during communication, they have the secretary on the other end, hey, you know what? I'm going to wire the information for you. And somehow the hacker was sitting, called a man-in-the-middle attack. And they listen to everything.
Huh.
And the moment the lawyer step away, the other one send an email, hey, you know what? Here is a wire transfer. So it substitute the transfer information, wire transfer information, to the other secretary, and they wired the money.
Okay but that's a real wire. I mean, I don't think of it. I was trying
it
to
happened.
Figure out how...
It happened already.
So okay. they simply changed the recipient on the wire instruction.
That is correct.
To be their account.
That is correct. The wire number.
Legitimate source.
Correct.
Yeah.
They just swap around. And you know who notorious was for that one? The North Koreans. Nobody want to talk about the number one hackers, the most sophisticated hackers, I think the North Koreans. And one of last week, they just hacked one of the exchange in Dubai, $1.4 billion. And they hacking the cold storage. You know how hard it is to hack cold storage? I'm talking about offline. You tell people, like Mark Cuban, you know, he put his money on the wallet and he got hacked. That's not a cold wallet. That's a warm wallet. But a cold wallet is that mean that you store it somewhere, the key, and they be able to penetrate. How did it so sophisticated? The level of sophistication is blow me away. And nobody want to talk about that, okay? And same thing with wire transfer.
Yeah, but I'd love to be, you know, a mouse in the corner when it's disclosed how that happened. There had to be a human at some point involved.
Correct.
You know, because
so, like I said, sophistication is not like one person, but it's called a process.
The weakest link.
Correct. They process. They put together. Remember, I keep telling people this, okay? Funny, you talk about the mouse. Well, I tell people this. The only free cheese is the one inside the mousetrap. Okay? Remember that. I like to use the analogy.
That's only free matter of thinking.
I use a lot of analogy.
Too good to be true.
Yeah. So I always close the term. If it's too good to be true online, it's probably a malware. Okay?
Yeah.
I like to use analogy a lot on my podcast because the people like not take it to understand. Remember, the feeling make them feel safe, right? So phishing is still play a number one role. So that's why if I'm going to do like a phishing campaign, that's the first security awareness I always focus on. Okay? Remember, the hacker, they exploit trust in human psychology. Attacker have become in-depth of crafting convincing email that appear to come from legitimate sender. And sometimes it look like domain unknown brand logos, you know, the full recipient. And I'm telling you, they're getting good at it, extremely good at it, right?
Yeah.
So remember when I mentioned the business email compromise stand for BEC, you probably hear a lot of that. So why is it important? Because business email compromise, like you have a business even more targeted. And often financially damaging. In 2022 alone, the business lost over $2.7 billion due to BEC scam, according to the FBI estimate. Attacker impersonates someone you trust. they impersonate someone you trust, say like a CFO or a long-term supply, and they manipulating the unexpected employees into transferring money or disclosing confidential. Oh, speaking of which, the Microsoft is improving their security as well. You know, like if you log in, if you're on the cloud and your normal daily that you work in Houston, for example, and all of a sudden that you go somewhere in Thailand, it will trigger it and it will warn you, hey, you know that we spot something that you're in Thailand, right? So I think Google, Gmail do the same thing too nowadays, right? So here's the thing.
Yeah.
What are the hallmark signs of BEC attack? You need to learn this, okay? BEC attack.
Okay.
People need to understand it. What is the hallmark sign? What's a sign? Urgency. That's number one. Claiming something must be done ASAP.
Only today.
You need it now. Then they put a little clock, right? Right? And odd request for unusual payment method or new vendor account. I got them all the time from Apple. And I say, wait a minute, Apple don't send email like this. They say, hey, you know what? Your cloud is out of date. You must do today or we can disable all your photos. And this is how I know this effect. Apple don't threaten you. You know what? We're going to delete all your photo. They don't say that.
They just do it.
But here, they give you time. But here this email says, you must do it now. You must click on this. You must pay
right,
it now.
Right, sure.
Just click on it and verify it. No.
Yeah.
Okay. And third, lookalike domain that closely mimic legitimate address. Oh my God, this is like when you click on a domain, look at this way. You know, the zero and the O look the same, correct?
Yeah, true.
And sometimes people cut and paste.
Yeah.
And I tell them, type it in, don't cut and paste. Yeah.
And they tend to be much, much longer, as was the easy tag or whatever the thing was.
Right.
And it was like, come on.
Yeah.
You had me going. You really got me.
But keep in mind.
Kudos on the strategy, but poor execution.
But people tend to click on it still. They seem to not learning. I mean, like I said, they don't need the entire, if they hack like 1 million people, they don't do it a million people at the same time. They use a computer AI to do all that. So they just sleep and let AI do the process, right?
Sure.
And another thing, the last thing. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say, let's go ahead and take our first break, if you don't mind.
No. Go ahead.
We'll circle.
We have more stuff to come. We have more stuff. More stuff. More fun stuff.
Good. Well, we will circle back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Roth, CPA. I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost. And I was gonna win no matter how much I lost. Grindstones and rhinestones have made up my life. But I shine like a diamond through sacrifice. I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost. And I was gonna win no matter how much I lost. But I hope that will tell me, well done, my child. You've won your reward through your sacrifice.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900. Or you can send an email to Nathan@npross.com. That's Nathan@npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make demands. Look like a woman, think like a man, be as good as or better than. Woman up and take it like a man.
Okay, welcome back. Some more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and as I mentioned at the outset, this is our Sunday cyber version, and as usual, we have our AI cyber expert, Mr. AI Nguyen, on board today.
Expert is a dangerous word, but I'll take it.
We spent the first segment talking about again, some phishing attacks. It seems like there's new ones every time we turn around. And I'd mentioned the toll tag scenario that I had an email about this week. And I mean, I really was only amused by it. I've never had I don't know. Maybe EasyPass does send out those kind of notifications, but yeah. It would usually be on their website that you would go make a payment, not on something.
When in doubt, go to the website. When in doubt, go to the website.
That's right. Yeah. And that's if you could even find the website in the several hundred character reply to address, right?
Yeah.
But anyway.
So we were stopping at the business email compromise before the break. Okay. So So now the next topic I want to talk about is this generative AI. So when I say that, I mean like ChatGPTs and other, you know, open source AI stuff. Okay, but the generative AI is a game changer for attackers. Okay, and I repeat, a game changer for attackers. And here's why. One of the biggest reasons shift in the rise of generative AI, attacker can now produce higher volume of scam email at speed with a greater sophistication. The date of obvious grammar error are fading, my friend, and the language in phishing campaign is becoming polished and personalized. I'm telling you, they're using AI, and they're changing their footprints. They make it smaller, simple, and summarize it in a way that you cannot see the grammar error like anymore. Like me, I always leave out the S, right? I always did, and I still do.
But that's... That's not you. That's the Vietnamese thing. It's the same with the Thai. They can't contort their tongue, just like I can't contort my tongue to speak the consonants and vowels that Vietnamese or Thai has. And so, you know, I never used to understand that, but, you know, it's, I don't know, we Americans tend to be so snobbish when it comes to, you know, immigrants that don't speak perfect English, and yet what you got to understand is they probably know at least two or three languages fairly fluently. And it's like my favorite expression over here when a Thai person apologizes, you know, sorry, I don't speak good English. And I said, I'll always say my immediate response is, boy, I wish I spoke as good a Thai as you speak English.
You know, when you...
So it's all relative, you know.
You know, if you go to Vietnam right now, their second language is English, and they speak very well. Like, you cannot believe like they're over here. So,
it's amazing how lazy we Americans are. I mean, I've been over here on again, off again. I mean, a lot. 20 years now. It's hard to believe, or almost 20. 2006 was the first time I touched down here. And, I mean, I can say words and phrases, a few pertinent ones, you know, like, turn the air conditioning up in Thai. Turn left, turn right, go straight ahead. But I can't begin to write it, and I can't begin to put, like, a whole sentence together. And I'm amazed at how foreigners in general, I tell you, the one person that takes the cake for me, I'll just share quickly, is when I was in San Antonio the last, 7 months now, roughly. Wow. I met a girl at one of the little fast food places there that was from Ghana. And I mean, and I get them mixed up. This is the one in Africa, not the one in Central America or South America.
I was going to say.
And she was speaking fluent English. I mean, I'm sorry, fluent. Well, she's speaking fluent English, too, to me. But she was speaking to her associates there that worked at that store, you know, San Antonio, obviously being heavy Hispanic. She was rattling off Spanish like she was a native. And I looked at her and said, how in the world did you learn that? She goes, we have Spanish movies and shows, and we watch them all the time. And it's like, I don't care. I got Thai shows and Thai movies over here, and I don't watch them much, but there's no way I could learn like that. My brain is too old, I think, to store that much information. But I tell you what, I want more of those immigrants. We need all of those immigrants we can find. And for that matter, by the way, for all us Americans that tend to, I think, at times, we don't understand the potential value of the immigrants, the ones that work and pay money into Social Security and Medicare. We ought to be rounding those up anywhere we can find them in the world and get them in here, because we're running out of money, and I mean fast, because there's too few workers supporting too many claimants or participants in those entitlement programs. And I'll tell you right now, you need to change. As long as they're otherwise good people, obviously we need to vet them, which has not been happening. And frankly, we need to turn the flow of expenditure out of our government around. There's far too much that's going to, you know, pay for cars and homes. I mean, where the government's footing the bill, it's crazy.
You know,
and it looks like it's getting ready to change. But anyway, go ahead.
You know, our country goes through some changes, and you know, people don't know a lot of change. And this is something that Donald Trump been talking about in the 80s. But I don't want to shift gear a little bit. But anyway, let's go back to the generative AI. There's a company called DocTrace, okay, and they show that 100 DocTrace.
Say that again, Wynn.
There's a
DocTrace.
DocTrace,
okay.
A company called DocTrace,
okay.
And they show a report that 135% increase in a novel social engineering attack between January and February 2023. So right around when the tool like ChatGPT blew it up in popularity. And later this year, 38% of phishing attack used a new AI-driven social engineering tricks. It's safe to say that attackers are leveraging these AI tools to outsmart older defensive systems. Okay.
Yeah, but when something I've been questioning, and I don't have a good answer.
Sure. Yeah.
Isn't
no one does.
People like, or company like ChatGPT or Gemini or Copilot. Isn't it, in a sense, kind of like an Outlook or a Gmail, where they're sitting on, if somebody's spamming, Gmail already knows about it well before anybody else, because the email's going through their systems and they've got alerts going off probably all over the place.
But here's the kicker.
Does ChatGPT not have access to all that data that someone's generating off their queries and, engineered prompts?
Well, it's supposed, a lot of company, ChatGPT, they learn everything, right? ChatGPT basically is a large language models. So a lot of people say it built in intelligence, yes, but it's basically a large language model. It take all the information, all everything, right, since 2022, up to 2022 last year, but now they get more information now. But to answer your question, yes, they do. But the way the attackers are doing, okay, they mimic your account. Like, for example, if you're part of a legitimate company and you try to spam somebody, if I try to send people like a bunch of email to you, and if I'm not a legit company, Google, Microsoft will block it. Okay, they call the entity on the cloud, they will block it. But guess what? The attacker, they're bypassing those stuff. Like, I'm telling you, like, maybe you send 100 email, they send 100 email fake, but 10 of them will get in. believe it or not, it will get in. And,
I see what you're saying.
And three of them.
It's still a numbers thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a number thing. Now, back then, you do it manually. You're hacking people manually, right? Today, they're using AI to do 10 millions. 10 million at the same time.
It doesn't give up.
No,
it
will.
It doesn't give up, does it?
No. Computer, like, they don't sleep. They never sleep, you know? So,
yeah.
So here is the question of that. How can company defend themselves against AI augmented attack? That's the question, okay? So here, what I found on the answer. By evolving their defensive focus on behavior analysis, like context-based detection, and continued learning tools that adapt quickly to threat evolve, basically using AI tool against AI. And there are companies that are doing that. Sound like a sell pitch, right? But that's the answer.
Well, what's the door or the window they're crawling through? It's email, right?
That's the number one. But I'll give you one example. And I'm telling you, like 99.9%, a lot of people don't think about. I'll give you an example. Let's just say your company has a rail guard that you protect the company. You got firewalls, you got all the kind of stuff protect, right? But check this out. When you're looking at your email, you're using your personal phone, your personal computers, right? That means you bypass your company security, right? You're using your phone.
Yeah, sure.
That's how they get in. Get it? That's how they get in. I'll give you one example.
Yeah.
The QR code. Everybody using QR code, right? And you don't think about that, right? You go to the game and you use a parking space. You pay for it using QR code. Guess what? I substitute that QR code with something else, with my own stuff. And then when you click on it, what happened? I take you to another location, to another website, and you click on it. And you're using your phone. And then guess what? Your information, company information in your phone. Make sense? So I don't attack the company. Attack the weakest link, humans. Remember, yesterday you got internal, external, DMZ, firewall. Simple, right? So you assume everybody inside is secure and safe, and people outside are bad guys, right? But guess what? Today, perimeter is everywhere. Your phone, your iPad, your laptop, everywhere.
Yeah, true.
So that's why, you know, maybe in the future I will talk more about the Zero Trust Network. Zero Trust Network is basically, in a layman's term, trust no one and verify all. Sound like Ronald Reagan, huh?
Yeah.
Well,
you know, I guess the I think I've read or heard where Donald Trump doesn't use email. I know there's been other, you know, celebrity types. In fact, even tech CEOs over the last 30, 40 years, there were numerous examples. Charles Wong, you know, the CEO of what was one of the largest private held companies in the world at one point, Computer Associates. And that policy he had of not ever sending an email is what kept him out of prison when Computer Associates got nailed for SEC
digital footprint
reporting,
digital footprint, and it remembers everything you use. Email, when you send an email out, okay, I want you to know this. When you send, to think about it, it's just like you dropping your mail to a post office, and that post office go to that mail collected by the postal service, they put into the truck and travel to another state. Think about that. During those travel, you have no control. What security you put in there? You have no control. Those mail. So think about email the same way, right? So make sure you encrypted that email, encrypted it, and then you send. So just like I put a lock on the mail, so even though it travel across the state, somebody open, they can't open it. So, you know, it's the world we're living in, right? So the next one I want to talk about is a broader attack, vector and exploit. That's beyond what I just mentioned, AI, right? Beyond phishing.
A border attack?
No. I say broader attack, broader, bigger attack, vectors.
Oh, broader.
Yeah, broader.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yeah. And beyond phishing and BEC attacker are exploiting a supply chains now. So business operate in the interconnect network of suppliers and partner. The criminal target the weaker links, ultimately breach a larger organization. And I'll give you an example. You dealing, you know, like we are B2B, A2B, B2C. Now the whole supply chain is all integrated, right? And if you're dealing with this company, for example, and that company doesn't have a rail guard or safety, it can compromise yours as well. So it's just like the whole apartment we talked about last time. You share apartment with a bunch of people, bunch inside the apartment, and you put firewall, you put alarm system, you put camera inside your apartment. But guess what? If there's a crack on the foundations, the whole thing collapse, right? So it doesn't matter. You try to protect yours, but other, if they don't protect theirs, it still doesn't matter. The whole...
It's impossible.
Right, exactly. So you need to know who you're dealing with. That's why today, when you're dealing with business, you know you need to know who you're dealing with. And I like to use another analogy. When you send your children to the daycare, you want to make sure that daycare is up to date standard, right? Make sure they have security. Make sure that they have all the kids have vaccine and things like that. You go to the number of things, regular checkup. Same thing with your cloud. Whatever you do, whatever you store your data, you make sure that they meet those standards. So it's not just about you anymore. It's about everybody sharing the same space. So I think that is the most I think the danger right there.
Yeah.
So
the let's go ahead and take our last break. Sorry to cut you off there.
That's all right.
We're right on top of it. And we will circle back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Mm-hmm. People always coming up to me and asking what's your secret. With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it?
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900. Or you can send an email to Nathan at nprawls.com. That's Nathan at nprawls.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Like the song, Bobby McGee, I'm just longing.
Dreams and fantasies,
and there are many just like me
with big dreams and fantasies.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner show, the Sunday Cyber version.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been talking about a couple of topics. The phishing topic has raised its head again, and then I guess malware resulting from that and other threats both inside and outside your company. And as when Mr. AI Wynn, our guest again, as he usually is on Sundays, has pointed out what I think we all can appreciate, and yet we probably don't make it any easier for the IT folks involved. But, you know, the threat is not just you sitting at your desktop computer on a company local area network or cloud-based network, I guess, these days. Right, when I suppose
oh, yeah.
The cloud-based networks are even more difficult.
Everything's on the cloud.
Police,
what
right?
is the cloud? The cloud is basically somebody else's computer, plain and simple.
Yeah.
You know, so earlier we talked about all the problem, right? So the next one I want to talk about is problem and solutions. So I'm going to talk about phishing, and it's all related to security, right? So I'm going to talk about the flaw in traditional email security. First, I want to present the problem of traditional email security. So given the evolving landscape, it's worth examining why legacy email security often falls short, okay? Well, typically, the older solution rely on deny lists or manually update the rules that focus on the known bad indicators like suspicious IP address, domain, file hashes. Attackers simply adapt and register new domain to bypass this list. That's how they bypass it, okay? They create another domain. Plus, the legacy filter generate loads of false positive. That means creating extra work for security team who has to constantly review and release legitimate email. So the bigger problem they still need is patient zero event, an actual attack to happen before they can learn from it. That makes sense? That's the traditional email security.
Yeah.
So the question with that is, why can we just rely on...
A little bit too late in some cases, right?
So a lot of people say, why can we just rely on the block list and the signature anymore? That's because attacker innovated faster than we can update their static list. They leverage fresh infrastructure, new domain, and advanced social engineering. By the time the threat is recognized and blocked, it may have already compromised several targets. This is where the AI-based proactive security come in. Okay? So, fortunately, we are seeing move toward AI-driven. I talk about AI as a double-edged sword, right? It can help us, it can help the hack, but also it's a positive for us cybersecurity too. So we're seeing the move toward AI-driven proactive email security. These email solutions go beyond simple allow-deny logic. They actually analyze context, user behavior, and typical communication pattern across the organization. Is that pretty cool, huh? Sound good, huh? They analyze the context and user behavior. User behavior. Remember what I said about human behavior? People remember... They don't remember what you say. They will remember how you make them feel. That's behavior. That typical communication pattern across the organization. So the idea is to build the models of normal so that deviations stand out, even if it's never been seen before. So here's the question people are asking. What key feature should companies look for in AI-based email security solution? What do we look for the company to produce? Adaptive learning. And, you know, the company called DocTrace, they have a pretty good solution, and the city of Las Vegas are using them. And you probably say, why would you use Las Vegas? Las Vegas have been hacked left and right because they're a casino. Look, 2 years ago, all the casinos got hacked.
That's where the money is.
Yeah, that's where the money is. Every year in October, they have a hackathon, okay? And I tell people, when you go in October, you need to turn up your Wi-Fi and your Bluetooth when you're in the hotel lobby. I'm telling you, those kids out there, those hackers out there wannabe, that's where they're testing their tools. So you need to be careful. So the key, back to the question, what key feature should you look for in a company that provide AI-based email secure solution? Number one, adaptive learning. That means continuous learning your email. And this company that I was talking about called DocTrade, they have that. Okay, detect the novel threat 0 day without required prior example. So they continuous learning. It's called self-learning. The keyword is self-learning AI.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the second one is context awareness. They're monitoring inbound and outbound email, plus internal collaboration tools like team, like service for application service, software as a service application and cloud storage. They look at everything like your OneDrive, your team, tools, and your apps, okay? And the DMARC implementation. It's not like prevent spoofing and brand misuse, okay? number four, integration, a unified view that tied into broader security, like a seam your sword. Now, that kind of a little bit, not how do I, it's not for non-techie to understand. So basically, they talk about tied into your endpoint security, like your firewalls or your antivirus software. Okay? So it tied into that.
Yeah.
Like company like CrowdStrike, right? I know. CrowdStrike get hacked. No, they didn't get hacked. The misconfiguration.
They made a mistake.
They're making a mistake, yeah. So anyway, so in the east.
Well, is there any concept coming down the road, or is it even possible where there could be, I envision like a tollway where the only people that travel on that tollway are those that go through the requisite on-ramps, off-ramps, toll booths, et cetera. Is there no way to control or filter the bad stuff out from the good stuff?
You know what? I don't know how.
Or do the hackers act? I mean, do they act good to get through this? I mean, I know we've got.
They always figure it out. They always figure it out. But I'm telling you, they always inside a job. And I'll give you one example. Think of it as a bank teller machine, right? You think those banks that the hacker just go into the bank, the teller machine, and break it and hack it? No, they have inside job. The people who work at the bank who collect the money, who go to the bank and put the money inside those teller machine, those remote teller machine, they have the key. They know how things work. And I'm telling you, they're always inside a job. They give them the code. They give them the know-how, or at least tell them how it works, right? And that's how it works. They're always inside a job. But we got to figure out how the Chinese are doing it. You know, they've been doing it for years before even us. They're using QR code. You know, everything in China, they're using a QR code, right? Everything.
Yeah, it's very prevalent.
How do they do it?
I was just, it's not just there. I mean, we do it here. I just had a
But they do it first.
SIM card
they do it first, yeah.
Change. Yeah, they give you, oh, yeah, it could be. But they... and even some apps like Line now, and isn't it things like Google Authenticator? It seems like there was a QR code involved.
So you know, I'm glad you posed that question. That two-factor authentication. When you have a dual-factor authentication, you minimize, you bring down your threat level significantly. You know, at least.
Yeah.
You know. But what I'm trying to say that the hacker will figure a way out. So, you hear about infrastructure attack, right? And you know what? You should watch the Hollywood movie. Somehow they self-prophesy things before it happening. Usually they also have the inside track too. How they figure out to make all those movies, all those plots. So there's a latest movie they're talking about, the infrastructure attack. You know, how the hacker penetrate our network and attacking our infrastructure. And that scares a lot of people, actually scare me too, because they self-prophesizing, right? You think about this. You know what the, usually you have the enterprise network and you have the industrial network, two separate network, right? But now we grow so fast that we have to integrate those two things together. Well, guess what? That also poses a danger. 20 years ago, they had to go to the meter, HLMP had to go to the meter, collect the meter every month, right, before they bill you. And if they want to turn off your electricity, they have somebody out and go to your electricity and turn out. Today, they do it remotely. Do you know that? Because they tied in.
We got smart meters that are 105 years old.
That's right. That's right. And, so now they can turn it off without using anybody.
Yeah, and they don't need to go. I mean, used to when you said they'd go out and read it every month. Well, not really. They would read it 1 month, estimate it for 2 or 3 months, and then read it again, you know, 3 or 4 months later. Now, they don't have to do any of that.
No.
It's all up to the second.
They basically, they integrate the SCADA network with industrial network with enterprise network now. But that also presents a danger. Think about that. If you can turn off remotely, what do you think the hacker can do? They can do that millions, right, at the same time.
Sure.
The Chinese been exploiting our network. They've been exploiting our network, okay? And I'm telling you, this is a real threat. think about it. They can shut down our network.
Yeah.
Can you survive without, think about it, a day without electricity in the summer?
Oh, I, my I've told this before on the air. I'll just say it again. My wife, seeing my reaction to when we're typically warned over here before our power is taken down, usually it's replacing some hardware on the local grid, you know, our neighborhood, or maybe they're putting a new transformer in on a new section or whatever, and they'll say it's going to be down from, you know, 1 o'clock to 1:30 or 4 or whatever. And if it's more than an hour, I'm, you know, loading up to go to the nearest Starbucks to get some work done or go to the mall, you know, where they've got air conditioning. And she, first time that happened, she goes, you know, you Farangs, that's what they call us Westerners.
Yeah.
Y'all wouldn't last very long if your power went down.
Oh, man, I tell you.
You're exactly right.
How can,
you're exactly
okay,
right.
Okay, I'm going to give you a scenario, okay? Imagine the sewage is not working. Think about that.
Oh, it's on many fronts, man. Many fronts.
I'm talking about
you forget
the
about
water, electricity,
that's tied
ooh,
to
yeah.
electricity.
Yeah,
yeah, over
everything
here,
everything tied into electricity.
Every
you're
home
right.
Has a pump.
You're right. Yeah.
Yeah, and that water is not coming out.
It's not coming. It's not flushing. I'm telling you that the most danger, and this is the danger, the very danger that I fear the most. Okay.
Yeah.
So even though you have water,
and we're exposed.
Because, yeah.
We're definitely exposed. You're right.
Well, yeah.
You're right.
This has been interesting.
Yeah.
But that's all I have for today.
Well,
sir.
I can only hope we have similar capabilities towards others. Maybe it's
oh,
not
yes,
like
we do.
But maybe it's
yes,
something.
We do.
You know. Yeah. Well, it's,
America.
It's
America
the
is
deterrent.
An empire too. America is an empire too.
Well, hopefully there's deterrence strong enough to offset the enemy.
So, you
but,
know, last
anyway,
week...
Anyway, well, when...
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, real
no,
quick.
I said, no, I said last week I learned... We'll talk about next time how Las Vegas implement their system. So I think that's...
The yeah, user. I'd be... Yeah, I would
you want
to
hear this. They,
hear that.
Yeah, they want... You want to hear this. So we talk about next time.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay. Well, listen, we are coming up to the end of the show here. We appreciate you tuning in. I hope you enjoyed it. And we will return on Friday at 11 a.m. with more of the Be a Planner show and our standard fare of real estate taxation, retirement plan taxation, private partnership syndication, and zero tax math. So, again, and we'll be right here on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.